The following program is an MLWRadio.com production.
And welcome to a new episode of the Eastern Lariat Podcast, your show for news, notes, reviews, and opinions on the world of Japanese pro wrestling here on the MLW Radio Network. Last time I said I didn't know if we were going to be back with the show before the big Dragon Gate show, but it turned out, Dylan, we actually are, because it is November 5th. It is a couple of hours after the big New Japan show from Osaka and one day prior to Dragon Gate's show. How are you feeling?
You know, Strig, first of all, I want to shout out all the listeners out there. You know, hopefully everybody had a happy Halloween. You know, had some good trick-or-treaters, costumes, candies, all that fun stuff for Halloween. You know, if you want to hear more about the Dragon Gate, go to the Patreon, patreon.com/EasternLariat, because I'm going to do a full review of it with Sondre Bjorn. Nice. Talking about, you know, the big Dragon Gate show, Yamato getting the title shot. We kind of previewed that on the last episode.
Yeah, a bit.
To be honest. So we will talk about that full thing. Also, every single match of the DO tournament, me and Yannick are going to do that. That's going to be an interesting thing. Also, every single match of the Goddesses of Stardom tag tournament as well. So you're getting like tons of content on this Patreon, on this $5 tier, to be honest. You're getting all kinds of cool stuff. Every day, Toyota Tuesdays, we had a bunch of matches already put up, like not even a weekend. Every single day for November, we'll have a new Toyota match. I write a full review. It's actually super detailed, to be honest with you, in these matches. And you get the links to them. You can watch them. It's a lot of fun. Cool stuff abound on the Patreon, so that's cool. And cool stuff in all of the world of wrestling, and some of which we are planning to talk about today. You know, obviously, we are a Japanese wrestling-centric podcast. I will give you that. You know, there's no question about it. But I also would like to recommend everybody to go into the archives. Check out, this is on the free show too, by the way, so it's free for everybody. Also, the Toyota stuff is free for everybody too. Just go to the Patreon. It's, you know, you can read it. You don't even have to subscribe or whatever. But the archives, check out the show I did on the Observer Hall of Fame with Gerard Detrolio from the Emerald Flow show, talking about non-wrestlers. He's big on Sanshiro Takagi being a Hall of Famer, so I had to try to settle him down a little bit on that. Now, we talk about all kinds of people, like Rossi Ogawa, Joe Higuchi. He's like a super famous referee in the past. By Lord James Blears, even, there. And we do that. We do the historical guys, and we center back around to the Japanese candidates again. I talked about that with the Case Low show I did, which is also very well worth listening to. A lot of people like that, actually, said nice things about that show. But the one with Gerard is just as good as well, and I actually agreed with a lot of stuff he had to say, and I thought it was a very interesting conversation, all in all. You know, and I like to think this one will be as well. The one we have, this is not a historical show we're about to do. We're catching us up to the modern era as we're on kind of the end of the road, pretty much, for the year of Japanese pro wrestling in 2022. We got a couple months left, and it's going to be interesting to talk about some things.
Yes, I didn't get the chance to listen to the latest one with Jirai yet. I listened to the one with that you did with Case Logan a week or so before. That was very good, and so I will probably enjoy that one as well. So I'm looking forward to listening to that. So go up to the Patreon, patreon.com/EasternLariat. That's where Dylan is having his playground, so to speak.
Well, the Gerard show, that's on the free feed, along with
nice.
The Case.
Oh, that's there. Right. That's right. Yes.
And the Inoki show me and Ken Stalker did, that's on there too. I'll highly recommend that. And the Patreon houses all kinds of other stuff as well. Like the stuff I was saying with the Dragon Gate, the DDT, and the Stardom and all that. Like, the modern stuff is all on there, and occasionally I'll do the 90s project and all of that. We did a show about Inoki, our week of show on Inoki on the Patreon, so you're getting all kinds of stuff on the free or the Patreon, but if you like what we're doing, support the Patreon anyway. You get more. You get more stuff with all kinds of different cast of characters roaming about on the Patreon these days. And just all sorts of fun stuff. Occasionally I'll dip into this historical stuff. It's a lot of fun. And, you know, like I said, some of the stuff you might end up, you really learn a lot about some of these guys, especially like that Observer show. We talked about a lot of different people from Japan and all over the world of wrestling, not just even Japan. So you're going to learn a lot of different facts about people you may not have remembered, or maybe you knew already and forgot about. You learn a lot of different things, get opinions. It's a lot of fun. So check out the free feed and the Patreon. You get all kinds of stuff on both of them.
We're also going to talk about a bunch of names here on this show today. And for that, I want to go back to last weekend, actually, Dylan. October 30, to be precise here. First, the All Japan show. They did their Halloween Mania show. It actually, like, it was just a name for a show. It was actually a regular show in Shinkiba. But cheering was allowed for the first time in a long time in all Japan Pro Wrestling, and the crowd was really hot, and it got to show that they made a huge mistake. Well, actually, let me rephrase. They made a couple of huge mistakes in recent months, and the most obvious one is, of course, that they backed away from the push of one Yuma Aoyagi, because he was one of the most over guys on that show. The crowd was heavily into him when he came out for the main event that he had with his brother against Kento Miyahara and Rising Hayato. And another thing that was very clear on that show is that they didn't give a damn about what they did in Nippon Budokan a couple of weeks ago when they crowned new World Tag Team Champions and new All-Asia Tag Team Champions, something that we had already talked about on our last show when they took away the belts from Ashino and Honda, and now they did the same with Hikaru Sato and Dan Tamura. Tamura had only won his first championship a couple of weeks ago, and now they dropped the title to Yoshitatsu and Tajiri. Mind you, Sato and Tamura had, the week before, lost a non-title match to the Saito brothers. So they were weak champions to go into this title match in the first place. And then they also lost, which made them look like total geeks. So, and also the finish, because these finishes with Tajiri's missed, they are so stupid in a lot of ways, because the guy is clearly showing that he was sprayed into the face, but the ref he doesn't care. And he just will they call the tap out for Tamura here. So new All-Asia Tag Champions with Yoshitatsu and Tajiri. For what reason? Questionable. And yeah, the belt basically is back into oblivion.
Yeah, I don't know if it ever escaped oblivion, unfortunately. Yeah, so this sucked. I kind of had very similar feelings on the last show about the Suwama and the Kono title win. I just thought that was so stupid. It's clear, and it's the same deal here, almost beat for beat. You know, somebody, it feels like backstage is just running the promotion, or you know, it feels like they're having a midlife crisis of sorts. And I feel the same about this exact thing. Like somebody with power has now put themselves in this position that they really don't need to be in. And I don't know why they're doing it or what they see in this from any kind of business or definitely entertainment sense is even more questionable. But, I mean, at the end of the day, they don't care about Tamura, like, or even Sato. Even though I think Sato is one of the best wrestlers, Tamura is like, he's okay. You know, I don't really see a lot in him anyway, to be perfectly honest with you. It's like he's gotten surpassed by so many people on this roster. It's like he's a second match guy at this point, and he clearly will not be more based on how they use him. But I just have to accept it. Now, I think I did accept it when they did the Tiger Mask title switch on Sato. I was just like, okay, like that's where these guys are. That's where they slotted them, and I wish that we could see better. And like I said, I mean, this title reign, the thing is, they have some options, but I do think also it's worth mentioning that the first challengers for this are Mensurei and Izanagi,
yep,
who are not exactly the strongest team.
No, they had an amazing comedy match in this opening of this Shinkiba show, which was the best comedy match I had seen in many, many months in any promotion. But that's what they are. They are a undercard comedy act, and that's where the title is, too.
I like them. Like, I like both of those guys. I mean, that match with Sato and Mensurei on one day notice was a great match if they let him go. And Izanagi's, I've long been a supporter of his. But it's like where they're slotted on the card is so weak. It's like, you know, that they this is where they see these All Asia titles, and you know, I as far as the Saito brothers, I mean, I've said my piece on them. You know, turning into the Voodoo Murderers, you know, I'm not a big fan of that. And I always supported them. I thought they were kind of underrated. And just more so than that, I just thought that they brought something unique to the table. And now they don't do that anymore. Now they're actually just really bad, in my opinion, with this Voodoo Murder stuff. So I think that that whole deal was like, that wasn't about even Sato or Tamura. Like, clearly, it was just saying, hey, look, these guys, they couldn't win the other titles, but they're actually... they're bigger than the All Asia titles. Right, like we need to take them a little bit more serious. So like, we're gonna have to beat these goofy All Asia champions. And even though, like I said, I think we like them. Like Tamura's a fine performer. Sato is really great. But regardless, they don't see any of that. They're just like opening guys. And like I said, I think both of these guys, Sato and Tamura, they're destined for second matches for the foreseeable future. At least with Sato.
Yeah, he's been there and done that, you know. But Tamura. He's just going to be one of these guys, too.
Yeah, he too has been there and done that, and will continue to be there and do that. The only thing with Sato, at least, is with the junior deal coming up, very smart, really putting over the juniors as well, having their tournament the same time as the strongest
Listen, Dylan, it has always worked out great for New Japan Pro Wrestling when they did their World Tag League and the Junior Tag Tournament at the same time. Or no, they did the Junior, the Best of the Super Junior at the same time as the World Tag League, right?
Yeah, that happened.
Pandemic. Yeah. Yes, and that was a giant bust. So All Japan figured, hey, let's do the same thing.
That was the one thing that was kind of interesting coming off of that last show was when he was talking about having the league. We talked about that, and I was saying, man, I think that they should, if they really put some muscle behind this junior tournament, they could have like a junior champion carnival. Like they should try and use that branding. But clearly, nobody listened to my pleas for that.
It's just the six guys they have on their roster, and that's it.
I just think, like, when you're having a tournament that small, it's kind of better, like, just to not have the tournament.
I absolutely agree, because it shows how small their junior division really is.
And clearly they agree. Like I said, just for putting it on the tour. So it's like, what is the purpose of this, ultimately, other than just time filler? It feels like...
I was wondering if it is another tool to put over Atsuki Aoyagi strong... because he is obviously one of the guys that is moving the most merch when you look at the crowds that All Japan has right now. And he's one of the most over guys in the company. So I wouldn't rule out that he will win the thing as champion.
And he's one of the most interesting people, like, because he, unlike his brother, has not been reduced to just ashes as the years have come across. Even though his brother should have been like the next ace of the company. But clearly they went a completely different way than that. So yeah, of course, he's one of the young guys, the cool wrestlers, like really good stuff, always having good matches throughout the year. Everybody likes him. You know, he's great. So I think he's one of the only interesting guys in the company. But at that point, because I definitely can see where you're coming from, but let's say he just runs through this tournament and wins the tournament, then what? Like, he's cleared out the whole division at that point.
Yes, he cleared out the whole division, and the next logical step would be that he gets challenges
the title to Tajiri.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, my point is completely void. You figure it out.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we saw that. Didn't we do that exact thing, like, a couple of years ago?
Yeah,
like,
with Koji Iwamoto.
Yeah, I'm sure with others as well. Yeah, you know, sure. I'm sure we need to trace the lineage of this title. I remember the one with Super Crazy won the title as well. That was bad.
Yeah.
that was bad. Even last year with Sugi, like, that didn't work out at all. So it feels like we're in the same holding pattern where we build up to this new guy that gets a title, and then some old guy comes in and beats him right away. And not even an interesting old guy. Like a really and Tajiri is really, really uninteresting in every possible fashion. So yeah. I do not want to see that. But like I said, it just feels weird when running this tournament. So I do think
what I was going to say, wait a second. What I was going to say, what the logical step would be here, if he clears out the entire division, then he should like go and open and issue open challenges to guys from other promotions. Like, for example, they just recently had Minoru be thrown out of the Voodoo Murderers, and he's just not in this tournament. So he would be one But they also they already did the match, right? They did the match. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
So he could realistically, he could just stand there and say, "Hey, for any guy from any other promotion, come in and challenge me for the title because I've cleared the division." That at least would be something to do. But it realistically would also lead to the same ending because that's what All Japan really does a lot—that they give out the titles to the junior title for the most part to people from other promotions.
Well, I mean, you know, there's been ups and downs with that. I mean, I thought the Susumu title reign was really good, actually, which, again, no surprise, it had two Hikaru Sato matches in there that were both great in there. But I thought that was, like, one of the better versions of that sort of thing. You know, they did one with Shima one time. That wasn't that great, sucked, to be honest. Yeah, it definitely wasn't a great one.
It brought out the greatest finishing move in modern pro wrestling, the Spartan Cut.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right. Let's not forget.
The reverse elbow to the back.
Yeah. Like, let us not forget the Spartan Cut. Okay, I'm glad you brought that up. We all need to be reminded of that. But, I mean, you know, like, if they did that, you know, you have something there. He wins the tournament, and like you said, it's like, hey, I'm bringing this title to every company I can, pretty much.
Which actually means he brings it to great.
Yeah, exactly. So you see that happening. You could see him fight some guys there. I mean, the Strong Hearts wrestle on these All Japan shows.
Yes, they do. Yeah.
So you can kind of go through them if you want there. So that could be something if they want to do that. But I feel like that's a very limited opportunity, you know, to do that. Like you said, they've already faced Minoru, or he's already faced Minoru. I don't know. It feels like they don't even care about it, to be honest with you, other than he's good and everyone likes him because he's really good and cool and new. And where will they go from here? I don't know. The tournament, like I said, I feel like they had an opportunity to make something out of it, like if they wanted to build the tournament on its own. But we talked about that too, is that there just weren't enough shows really to build that, which makes one wonder, why didn't we wait until the start of the new year to run this tournament where you had more shows so you could do a full tournament if they wanted? But
yeah, you could just put it in Kurikan. That would immediately like upgrade the tournament.
I mean, anything they could do would hard to be a downgrade from what they've done. Like, secondary to the tag league, and even the tag league, I mean, there's only 8 teams, right?
And that's that too. And it's completely weird because, like, they are running these two tournaments at the same time, and they are both a league format. But for the Junior Battle of Glory, they have scheduled a final match on the last day of the Real World Tag League. And for the Real World Tag League, they don't. Because it's just a league format with the number one team of the league winning the thing.
I don't know. It's just like this company is so, so weird right now. I think it's been a really... I can't remember a company... Because that's the saddest part of all this. You know, we're going to talk about some companies that have been bad all year. You know, like, there's been a couple of those, and actually probably even more than a couple. Like, a lot of the stuff has been bad this year. But All Japan, for the first third of the year, was a great company. And it felt like they had everything, you know, everything was cruising. And then somewhere along the line, everything fell off the map. And since then... I can't remember a company that started out the year really hot and then just completely fell off and became awful by the end of the year. But All Japan right now is right on that level. I think that, you know, whatever they see, I don't know what metrics they have that tell them to do these things, but I just don't think it's worth it.
You could see the metrics. You could see when people were allowed to cheer again. You could see who is over and who is not over. And it's clear that they made the wrong decisions.
Well, I would have figured as much, and you know, it's good that we're seeing, and that is the thing, we're seeing that a lot more in a couple of different companies where the crowds are coming back intermittently, so maybe that is a metric we can all see going forward, and we'll see how they handle that. Maybe that'll cause them to change some things. I don't know. I really don't think so. I think that, like I said, I think it's the people involved running the company that are the ones that you know, their minds are not going to be changed because... All of their ideas seem to focus on themselves getting over, which is a common trait in all of wrestling anywhere. But yeah, I mean, I'm not interested in either of these tournaments. So, you know, like, long story short, this tag league or this junior league, whatever happens. I mean, like I said, if, you know, GOA wins the tag league, they already did the stupid title change. And if Jake and Yuma win, well, I don't want to see Yuma tag with Jake. So it's like there's nothing, there's no interesting options unless Kento and Nomura won. Like, that would be a little interesting. And I think, if anything, this tournament's going to probably be used to set up a title match between them, with them breaking up their team at the end for whatever reason. You know, and I think that's probably the thing I'm most interested in, which is what Nomura does going forward. Or Takuya, that is.
Yes. You mean Takuya or Naoya?
No, Takuya. The one teaming with Kento.
Yeah, okay. Because Naoya also had a match on that show where he Yuma Anzai in a really cool match, I thought. Just under 7 minutes, but good stuff.
Yeah, but he already had the title shot.
Yeah, right.
Oh, you, by the way, Anzai, he's really great.
Yes, this match with Naoya Nomura, really recommended, because you really get to see a lot in these 7 minutes.
Like I said, it's clear that he's going to be a guy. That is the one good thing you can say about All Japan, is their young guys are good. You have somebody like him, Ryo Inoue, I think the world of. You know, you see those guys, and you can tell that they have a core of guys here that they can build around. It's just going to be interesting to see what they do. But I do think Anzai, that is going to be somebody they really try hard to make a top guy. You know, I think that he's going to get a big push, you know, not right away, but I definitely think his future is very bright. That's somebody that we can all follow.
I only have one question, Dylan, regarding Anzai. When is he going to join the Voodoo Murders?
Well, it depends on what kind of, you know, what kind of future they see for him. Well, you know, we had to wait for the excursion for the Saito brothers to join. And who even knows if these guys are even going to go on excursions, to be honest with you, in a way, in Anzai. You know, it depends on what kind of plans All Japan has for the future for their young guys. I mean, we hadn't seen a good excursion for All Japan guys in a while, right? Before the Saito brothers, it feels like. So maybe they'll just hold off of that. Maybe they should. if that's the plan, just to bring him into Voodoo Murders, just have Anzai just do his thing. Like, I'm all for that. But yeah, he's really great, and I think that he'll be somebody they could bank on in the future, barring them doing something crazy like that.
Like it used to do. Yeah. So much, I guess, for All Japan Pro Wrestling. And at this point, moving over to another company that had a bigger show on that same day, that's Pro Wrestling Noah in Ariake, with the big announcement, obviously, being that the great Muta will be wrestling Shinsuke Nakamura on January 1st, 2023, in a announcement that really made social media buzz. And it surely is an amazing announcement for the great Muta, for Noah. It will move a lot of tickets. I'm very sure about that. Match quality-wise, it will probably be fun to watch these two do their thing. I wouldn't expect too much from Shinsuke Nakamura, just based on what he's doing, what he has been doing in the last couple of years. But that's really not the point. The point is that this is a big match that feels like an interpromotional match. Where at the same time, I tweeted that out right after they made the announcement, I wouldn't go too crazy about this. I saw some people on Twitter already making like moves and thinking who else could be wrestling, who from WWE, and that this might be the beginning of a working relationship and WWE maybe opening up to work with other promotions. If I'm a promotion that's not WWE, I would do my best to not work with this company, because just look at this Carl Anderson deal that WWE has been doing. They didn't let him acknowledge his last booking, or maybe he didn't want to, we don't know, but definitely he signed a WWE deal when he was still a champion in New Japan Pro Wrestling, and he didn't defend his title when he was scheduled to. That's not, I think Joe Lanza on Voice of Wrestling said it, that's not good business. That's bad business. So I wouldn't really do business with WWE. But I've translated an article from Tokyo Sports recently on our Eastern Lariat Twitter. You can go up there and read the gist of it, where the director for CyberFight said that he personally was involved in the booking of this match, and they also contacted Sonny Ono to make sure that they don't burn bridges with All Elite Wrestling regarding what the great Muta did there. So to me, this is a very cool one-off deal, but not more.
Well, I mean, that never thing, like, that to me, I don't think it's bad business at all. I think, like, that's an unquestionable success, like, this work shoot storyline. you know, we'll talk about it when we get to it, but it's, like, a match that nobody would have given a damn about has gotten more talk about it in the last 2 weeks than it ever. And even the replacement match, that's a match nobody would have given a single crap about. And like, because of all of this craziness surrounding it, people actually cared about it. You know, and I think that that's something that's...
I wouldn't go that far that people cared about it.
I saw people going crazy about that match, like, you know, considering how they booked it. I mean, it wasn't like, oh, this was this legendary match. Obviously, it was 28 seconds, but people had eyes on a match that they wouldn't have cared about at all before.
True. Yeah. Is it a success? That's the question, because it didn't move a single ticket.
Yeah, but now, if they had not done it, it still wouldn't have moved a single ticket. So they at least got people talking about them, which was the only goal of that sort of thing.
That's the metric, yeah.
Yeah, like I said, so... I mean, but this is a totally different situation than that, anyway. Muto, obviously, is... you know why this is happening? I mean, to me, you have to speculate that Muto will do something in WWE.
Yeah, he's going to the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, makes perfect sense. You know, they might even bring him in for a Rumble, you know, type of, you know, like have a surprise pop. Like, you know, I think that he's a guy.
He's interesting. The real Forbidden Door.
Well, didn't Nakamura say that? It is, yes. See, so this is the true Forbidden Door opening up. But, I mean, to me, that like, it just seems simple. Like, you know, they wanted Muto for some WWE thing, whether it's the Rumble. My most wanted... like, end game to all of this is that he actually has a WrestleMania match after his retirement match, which would be hilarious to me if that happens.
A total Muda thing to do.
Yeah, exactly.
When in Wrestle 1, when he retired his moonsault, and the week thereafter, he jumped another moonsault, but as Great Muta in DDT.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, you could have all kinds of excuses to get around this retirement.
You can go to WWE and be Kokeshi Muso.
What?
That was his one-off gimmick that he had when he was wrestling Jinsei Shinsaki.
Oh, wow. Okay. Like I said, kind of going deep cut. I'm sure a lot of the WWE fans will pop big for that as well. Not the Great Muda. But, I mean, that's the thing. His legacy in America, he's like the one excursion that actually was good. Like, you know, like that was like actually meaningful, and he became a big star off of it. So I wonder, I mean, that was still like 30 years ago or something, like his big run. Yeah. He did return for 20 years ago in WCW for the Dark Carnival.
Yes, the most legendary run of his life, of course.
Yes, so we'll see if he... I mean, his gimmick is so theatrical and over the top, and I think it's very simple anyway. Like, if he just comes out, I'm sure everybody will pop for him when he gives the mist. Like I said, I feel like a Rumble appearance is the best. But in my mind, I want him to have a WrestleMania match because it's such a Muto deal. Like, he would get a huge payoff for this Dome show and then immediately go back on it and get another huge payoff at WrestleMania. But I think, like you said, the Hall of Fame is the end game. It doesn't mean anything for WWE to send Nakamura to Noah.
No.
Like, who cares? You know, like, you know, that means nothing to them. And will mean a lot to Noah to have this match, which is a huge... And I have to give them a lot of credit, actually. Like, Muto is far from my favorite performer in 2022 going into 2023. But I think that they have done an excellent job of making this retirement run as big as it could possibly be. Running the Dome, bringing in Nakamura. This feels like... I think that that Dome show is going to do... Like, this may be a hot take. I think that that's going to outsell Wrestle Kingdom. Like, when it was retired. I wouldn't be surprised if it sells out, to be honest.
A couple of weeks ago, I said the exact opposite. I'm still not sure if that's going to be a very hot ticket. But I can't really disregard it.
Oh, I think it's going to be... I think they're going to have all kinds of legends. It's going to be a spectacle. I think that Noah is completely all in on this. It's like this is a has to be a success scenario for them. And I like bringing in Nakamura definitely makes it seem that way as well. And let's be honest, it's not like their champion is really the hottest ticket as well in their own well. And actually, nobody in the company is a hot ticket at the moment, except for this Muto retirement tour. So to me, they put all of their eggs in this Muto basket. I bet there's going to be a ton of legends and stuff like that at the Dome. There's going to be emotional speeches, theatrics, pyro, you know, crazy entrances, probably amazing video packages, like all of that stuff. Like, you know, I think that it's going to be, I think that it's going to be a huge deal. Like, I think that those, you know, we're going to look back and be like, man, like Muto, for his, all of his many flaws, he is still one of the biggest stars in Japanese wrestling history. Like that's an unquestionable fact. So his retirement, and like I said, I think that the Dome makes his retirement mean a lot more, because now, in all honesty, like WrestleMania match aside, outside of that, there's no way his retirement could ever be bigger than this. So it actually makes it a lot more legitimate, because remember when he got first announced that he was going to retire, I was totally skeptical. Like, this will never happen. Like, he's going to have this fake retirement and he'll
still
be back.
Skeptical about it.
And I would be, but again, why would he do this and then come back at Korakuen? You know, like, unless he just can't help himself, which may be true. Well, again, I'm not in Muto's mind. I don't know his mindset. But for me, if you give me the option of retiring in, you know, any arena, pretty much like Yokohama Bunka Gymnasium or Tokyo Dome. And like I said, I really think that this is going to be a hot ticket. I think this Nakamura thing is going to get a ton of interest. I think that's going to be a really great show as well, business-wise, for them. I think that they've really done an excellent job of taking something that really... I don't think it was just me. I think most people are skepticism of his retirement. I don't think it felt like that big of a deal when they announced it. But I think they've done a great job. I mean, look, it's still Muto. Remember, he said he had 5 matches on his road. How many matches are we up to already? You know,
wasn't it 5 singles matches that he said?
Oh, really?
Maybe. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I don't remember that part. I just remember 5 matches. But maybe you're right.
That's already the part where Muto just says stuff and maybe delivers something else.
And that's true. Like I said, I'm not counting it out. Like I said, I think if he came back, it would be for that WrestleMania match, if they could set that up. Which, he's a great talker, so I'm sure he could convince them to come up with something if they wanted to.
Maybe he'll also honor his retirement, and they will just do an angle at WrestleMania, something that they've done before too.
Yeah, he doesn't need to wrestle. Just come out and miss somebody. Like, you know, I don't know who that would be exactly, or what kind of angle they would do with him. But you know, and who knows, like, what they're going to set up. But to me, that they've done an excellent job. I think Noah deserves a lot of credit, and I'm not going to give them a lot of credit for what's on their shows, as we are about to talk to about it. But I do think from a promotional standpoint, this Muto thing, I think they've done as like way better than I could have anticipated, and I think it's going to be a huge deal. Now, like I said, I really wasn't convinced of that at all when they first started it. I think this Nakamura thing, like you said, I totally agree with you on the match. I don't think it's going to be anything special to write home about. But like you said, it's not even about that, really. Just to see these guys interact,
yeah,
that's going to be a major deal. But hey, I got a question for you. They're doing this Nakamura deal, an interpromotional match with WWE, something that doesn't happen very often. What could they possibly have for his actual retirement match that would be bigger than this?
Nothing.
I don't think there's nothing. I do think there's something.
And there could be something. I mean, they could do something with Sting, of course. But I don't think that there... What could be bigger than a match against a current WWE guy?
The IWGP champion, Kazuchika Okada.
Is that bigger? I don't know.
Yeah, it is. Mm. Going for the title in his retirement match? Like, that's bigger than Nakamura.
Yeah, maybe it is. Maybe it is. Yeah.
That's the only thing I could think of that would be a better end game to this retirement tour than Nakamura.
Huh. I'm not sure if... I mean, Tenryu had a match with Okada for his retirement, and was not for the title. It was just a singles match. And that that was a big deal at the time.
That wasn't in the Dome.
No. It was in... was it in Budokan? Was it in... I'm not sure right now.
It definitely was not the Dome.
No. That's not what I'm saying, but they did the similar deal with Tenryu for his retirement. I could see it, but I can also see Muto doing a multi-man match with his peers that I could also see.
That's such a step down.
I know.
You know, you can't main event the Dome with that, I feel like. After this, again, if this had not happened, I would have thought that. But after Nakamura, there has to be something bigger than that to be in the main event.
Is there anything that you can think of that they could do except for Okada?
Well, there's nobody bigger than that. So, like I said, there's nobody bigger than Nakamura. I would say that would be a, I mean, you know, the emotional aspect would be a Tanahashi, but they kind of had that already with this multi-man tag match. You know, if you were going to do that, maybe Naito, if they wanted to go there. But that's about it.
Yeah,
and I don't think that's bigger than Nakamura.
It kind of sounds like it, because I really struggle to really envision this Muto retirement show and what they have for that, that they hadn't already done on this retirement road. Much like you said, they've done a lot on this road to retirement. And the reason that I'm skeptical about the show in general is that this road that Muto had in recent weeks and months, it wasn't the great selling point for Pro Wrestling Noah. It didn't make them sell much more tickets than they would usually do. So that's why I'm not. I can see them like sell 20,000-25,000 for that. I can see that, but I don't know if it will be enough to outdraw Wrestle Kingdom.
Well, I mean, will Wrestle Kingdom even get 20,000 at this point? You know, I think.
Good question. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, to me, I'm very confident. Nobody expected them to get Nakamura for this. Like, that shows me where they're at in this mindset. That, hey, like, we'll see. Like, I mean, if this Nakamura match doesn't draw, then maybe you can make that argument. But these matches, this retirement role, they haven't done anything with it. Like, I totally disagree if they've made it a big deal at all until this point. Like, these multi-man matches are utterly meaningless, in my opinion. And
I didn't say interested. That they made it a big deal. That's not what I said. I said that the road itself is not a selling point.
Well, yeah, but I'm not talking about the road. I'm talking about the dome show of his retirement show,
okay.
Which is going to be a big deal, in my opinion. Like I said, and I think that they have now, with this Nakamura thing, they pulled something out that's much bigger than anybody would have thought of going into this. And it shows you where, because like I said, before this, I would have said, oh, well, yeah, a multi-man match, like have him run through the spots or whatever. Like, I would have agreed with that. But I think after this Nakamura thing, that changes the game. And I think that that show is also going to be a big selling point.
Yeah.
The one with Nakamura.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. That's the Muto deal. You already mentioned their champion, which should be, in normal circumstances, their number one selling point. Kaito Kiyomiya, he still is the GHC heavyweight champion. He managed to get a 3 count from Katsuhiko Fujita, which stirred a lot of controversy on Twitter, at least it did. What's your take on the match and on the finish?
You know, I actually liked like a lot of this match just as a match. Like, I don't think it was this terrible match until the finish. You know, and I think that that's really what makes it awful. You know, like by the end of this, my entire viewpoint was like, you know, like that type of deal. So basically, there was this like he totally screwed up the Frankensteiner, which automatically this Muto stuff sucks, man. Like this fake Muto Kaito,
not good. No,
yeah, like I said, I thought they actually wrestled a pretty decent match for the first part of it, like the first probably a good chunk of it, like the first 3 quarters at least. Like, I think they did a good job just wrestling, but the finish was so terrible that it doesn't even matter. It wasn't that great to where it's like, oh, you know, it wasn't that great where it's like, oh, this amazing match that just happened to have a bad finish. It was like, okay, this was a good match that had this horrendous finish, and also he looks like a geek at the end. So, and like I said, I think the thing with this is, and this is maybe where I differ from some other people, and maybe you'll disagree with me, Strick. They've already, like, to me, in my opinion, and I think we're already seeing that they even think this now. Maybe they tricked themselves or fooled themselves and they're not believing this. But to me, they've already reached the point of no return with Kaito. When I look at this guy, if he had beaten Fujita clean in the ring, I still think he does not have an ace quality to him right now. Like, I don't like his wrestling. I don't like his look. I don't like how he carries himself. I don't see anything about him that screams a quality ace to me, which, is, again, we've said it before, I always thought he had before, like in his first run. But right now, I just think the look. I mean, this new gear he has, they've already changed it. Remember, they gave him new gear in the N1, and now they give him new gear. A new theme song. They're changing everything about him now. It feels like even they feel like, man, this crap isn't working that we had for the N1. They just need to, me, cut the cord on all of this Muto stuff, like, immediately. Like, just pretend it never happened, retcon it entirely. It's not helping him. In fact, it's making him look worse. No, it's making his matches worse.
Yes, exactly. It's not helping is something that will keep him on the same level, at least, but it's actively hurting the guy.
Yeah, like, it's lowering him. Yeah, exactly. And that's what I'm saying. They need to get rid of all this crap, cut the cord, do whatever you have to do. But he needs to just completely reinvent himself. And like I said, I think that they know that. That's why they changed so much about him for this match from already. He had a one-month change. Like, he changed in September to this other one, and now he's changed again. So, like, I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. Like, so that's really where I'm coming from. So I'm not that mad about the finish. I mean, yes, it looked bad, and yes, Fujita, you know, got out of the way quickly. Like, it didn't exactly sell his finish, which, why should he? The finish sucked anyway. But I think that it doesn't even matter. Like, even if he had won clean, I still think we'd still have a lot of problems, like, with Kaito.
And to be quite honest, I came on this show preparing for this to be a hot take, but it apparently isn't when I talk to you about this, because I also thought that, I mean, yes, Fujita getting up right after the finish and then selling it like he did kick out, it kind of sucked, and it took away the spotlight from Kaito Kiyomiya. But in the end, this finish was supposed to be a duplicate of Keiji Muto winning the title from Goshi Ozaki in Budokan. Was it 2 years ago or 1 year ago? I think it was 1 year ago. And they also did it with the Frankensteiner. And if I remember correctly, Dylan, you might correct me on this one. If I remember correctly, Go also kicked out at 3.1 for that finish.
Okay.
So playing, I can't believe that I'm doing this, but kind of playing devil's advocate for Katsuyuki Fujita here, maybe it was close to what they actually figured out for the finish to be. Because
good point.
He kicked out at 3.1, much like I remember that Go Shiozaki also did. Because it also was a surprise finish, and Go also looked at the ref and showed him the two fingers. That's how I remember it. It mm-hmm. may have been differently, but that's how I remember it, actually. So at that part, I can't really be very mad about it. I saw people be mad about what Fujita did afterwards, and I really can't be mad about that either, because that's just what the guy does and who the guy is. So that's what you're getting when you're calling the package Fujita. What you mentioned too is another great point about the finish, is that the finish just was fucked up and they should have done something else. But they didn't. They went to the Mutoisms, and that's not where Kaito excels. It actually sucks when he does the moves. His modified Shining Wizard looks bad. It looks atrocious. We've talked about that. The the Hurricane Rana, actually. It wasn't a Frankensteiner, but they call it a Frankensteiner. The Hurricane Rana looked bad, too. Fujita didn't really help to make it look better. But in the end, the entire finish sucked. And it wasn't just, in my opinion, it wasn't only Fujita's fault.
No, I totally disagree with that. Like I said, if anything, I put... I totally agree with you. I disagree with the idea that it's all Fujita's fault. I think the finger has to be pointed at Kaito, but more importantly, what they're making him do and making him be somebody who he's not, and having to go through all of these changes that don't make any sense, and that he's not at the level he should be at, and where he was at, and where he could have been at, if he had not done all of this. And it's like, it's not like this just magically popped up. This has been stuff that's been happening for years now with him. I think that this is an epic mishandling of a singular performer with Kaito Kiyomiya in ways that I can't quite remember an ace, like somebody who's supposed to be the main guy, that I can't remember anybody who's had the ball dropped on them to this level in a promotion.
It continued. Like, after the match, Timothy Thatcher came out to challenge him for the title. They are doing that match in Kurken, I think, on November 11. And the match is scheduled. And the next show. So Kaito wins this match over Fujita in controversial fashion. Looks like a geek in the end. And then what do? They have him lose the next match. It was a multi-man match, and Thatcher made him tap out to the Fujiwara armbar. Of course, to build up Thatcher as a strong challenger, but it completely, once again, hurt Kiyomiya coming off of this win over Fujita, then once again losing. And at the same time, Thatcher doesn't need any more steam behind him. The guy, a couple of weeks ago, beat Kojima and Sugiura in singles matches back-to-back. The guy has a standing, and it doesn't need to be elevated by beating the champion. But apparently that's the thing that they do. The champion loses, and then he wins the title match, but it won't make Kiyomiya into an ace when he drops falls left and right.
And it's more than that. Like, it's more than the wins and the losses. It's how they present him and how he carries himself and his attire. Like, everything about him is, like, just so off-putting to me right now. And I just, you know, and, like, his matches haven't been great. Except for, you know, that match with Hideki was an amazing match. The final yes. of the end one. And I think we're going to see a similar level with Thatcher of this Kaito. I think we're going to get him back on board as a wrestler, at least. You know, like, for whatever reason, him and Fujita... Like I said, I thought the match wasn't this terrible match anyway. If they just had a normal finish, I think I probably would have liked it well enough. But I think the Thatcher match is going to be really great. And if you can have a great match with him, I think that that would be good. But I think that they need to get rid of all of this stuff that they've done with his attire. Bring him back to something just even keel. You know, something that's befitting of an ace character. Like, that, not what he's been doing, because I think this new look, it's maybe a little bit better than the one they had in the N1 and the one they had before, but it's still bad. Like this stuff here, like, this is not an ace gear at all. I just think that it's a really bad look. They need to change everything about him. I mean, they're already trying to. Again, they're trying to throw stuff against the wall. You know, they wouldn't change his attire and his gimmick in a month if they didn't know that the other one wasn't working. So it's interesting. I think the build-up to the title match really hurt more than the match itself, like where he poured the beer on him and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That was worse than anything that happened in the match or even the
In the match, I can't really say that it was a professional match, so you can't really say anything about it.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. It's not like it's the match of the year or anything like that, but it was a good main event. If they just had a normal finish, it's just the ending sucks so much that that's all anybody's going to remember now from it. But I think the Thatcher match, I still think Kaito, just in ring, is still an amazing performer, and he has great matches within him. And I think that the Thatcher match is going to get him back on the right track. But it's all of the surrounding stuff that needs to be cleared up for him, or else we're going to be in the same spot. And I think that they've done him a real disservice as champion and just everything about him. I think that they have done it poorly. He definitely wasn't helped by this. I'm not going to try and lie to you. But I do agree with what you were saying at the start. You can't just point the finger at Fujita or whatever here. I think that if everything was going perfect and rolling along and then this match happened exactly how it did, it wouldn't be that big of a deal. It's just because of everything else that's gone along that I think it's really amplified, and you can see people getting mad about it. But I'm with you. I wasn't that upset about it. I don't really blame Fujita or anything like that. I just think that I wish the finish had gone better, and I wish that they cut all this Muto stuff out. It's nothing even against Muto. It's that it doesn't work for him, for Kaito. Yeah. And I think that they need to get him back on board to be his true self. Like, whatever that is and whatever that manifests to be, they need to find it. And they need to
let him find out. They need to let him. He's very early still in his career. They need to let him find out what suits him the best.
Yeah, which we already know what did based on his first run. Like, that was a great title reign. And unfortunately, they've gone completely just off the wall into this Muto stuff. So, like I said, cut all that out. And like you said, they do need to let him find out. But the truth is, he needs to find it fast, because he's the champion right now. And probably, and we've seen in the past, that this company under this ownership isn't afraid to put people on the under the gun really fast as champion. We saw it with Nakajima earlier this year. So if he needs to hurry up, is all I can say about that. But I do think that this match is going to be really great, and it will be a step in the right direction with him and Timothy Thatcher, who is a wonderful performer who I have a ton of respect for in every fashion. So I am looking forward to that match despite everything, and hopefully they can do it just as good as Hideki and Kaito did in the final, which is to me is like one of the better matches, probably the best match in Noah like that I can remember this year.
Yes, agreed with that. Yes, let's look at some of the other champions in the company going through the card that's going to be in Kurken on November 10. We mentioned Kaito defends the title against Thatcher in the main event of that show. Then there are four other championship matches with Masakatsu Funaki defending against El Hijo de Dr. Wagner Jr. Sadly, Katsushi Sakuraba didn't win the title. I was preparing for that. They had a nice three-minute match, but nothing to really be crazy about. They did their thing, and that was it, basically, with that. GHC Heavyweight Tag Team title, Takashi Sugiura and Satoshi Kojima defend against Muhammad Yone and Akitoshi Saito. And the match that they had with Kenno and Katsuhiko Nakajima at this Ariake show, thought by far the best match of the show. Amazing finishing stretch. And Sugiura and Kojima, they grow more and more to be a proper tag team.
Yeah, national title match was pretty good. I thought for what it was, just really rushed. Not rushed, but just really fast. Sakuraba, we kind of talked about it on the last show. I just felt like that was a neutral move, Funaki to Sakuraba. So I like Sakuraba, don't get me wrong. I think I would probably take him over Funaki, to be honest, if you're just putting a gun to my head. But I think with the title reign being how it was, it's probably better if somebody new just ends this title reign, because it's gone on for almost a year now at this point. But I feel like it's a neutral move, either way. So I wasn't like, it's not like I was like, oh man, this was a banger. It was just like, oh, okay. like this match at the end. Tag match, I agree with you. Best match on the show. I love Kongo as a team, Nakajima and Kenno. I think that they're a really great team. And two guys that you could see have a lot of cachet with the Noah fans, I think. Where they have great, again, they carry themselves so well. They work really well together as a team. They play off of each other really well. And Sugiura and Kojima, yeah, this is like, I was really impressed with them in this match as well. They're two guys, I've said before, I think that I would rather them not be around the main events. But tag team wise, I think that this could work and be really good, actually. Especially after this match, seeing it was really good. Kojima was super fired up. I liked what we saw here, just as a match itself. And I think that they did a great job. All four men stood out and did a great job. I think Nakajima's done a very solid job in his role. He's had a really up and down fluctuating year. But I think just in ring, he continues to be a standout player. And Sugiura, I thought, was really back on his A game here. He's a guy that in the N1, I thought, he's not as great as his level is so high usually that I thought he really didn't reach it in the N1. But I think he's back on his A game now. I think whatever this is with Kojima, maybe it's motivated him a little bit. I don't know, but it's working out really well. I like what we're seeing, and hopefully this continues to be a good title reign. I think that they could have a lot of good matches on the Noah roster. I think there's a lot of guys that they could do great things with. And Sugiura's in there, so it's obviously going to be great no matter who they face, really. But I think Kojima is really motivated with this team as well. I think they've done a great job. Can't wait to see where it goes going forward.
Yeah, agreed. For the other tag team title, the junior heavyweight tag team title, it's Atsushi Kotoge and Seki Yoshioka defending against Shuji Kondo and Hajime Ohara. And for the junior singles title, Ninja Mac, in his first defense against Dante Leon, which is probably going to be a a GCW-style match. Nothing that I'm hyped about. The way that Ninja Mac won the title was unfortunate for Hayada, and in my opinion, it's just me, and I think that you agree with that. It is unfortunate for another reason, because I'm very sure that they will go back to Hayata as champion very soon, once he is recovered from his elbow injury. And then they will give him another title run with mostly the same challengers, because this one apparently was not supposed to end at this point. At least that's the impression that I had from the match. What do you think about it?
Well, Striga, if you know me, I've always been the one that stood up for Hayata and said, this guy's...
Someone has to.
Yeah. I've always said, man, he's under push. He's not winning enough. He doesn't have enough titles. And I think that, unfortunately, the genius bookers of NOAH have ran into a little bit of a hole right now, ran into a little bit of a brick wall with this injury. But like you said, they're going to perfectly lay out the plans and have a brilliant plan for Hayata to come back and win the junior title, which I think is what most everyone wants when you think about it. I mean, like I said, be honest, Rick. Did you ever look at this guy and say, man, this title's going too long? I know we talked about it off the air. You've told me that you just love this man as a person and as a wrestler, and that you just want this title reign to go on forever. And I completely agree with you. And that's why the people who run the junior division in NOAH are the bookers of the year to me. Forget about Tony Khan.
Get out of the way, TK.
Yeah, forget about him. Like, it's the people who run this junior division of this amazing Hayata title reign, man. I want to see more of it. They're taking away from me. And man, and who else? Who else would I want to see with how great Hayata is? Bam. Like, right when I thought it is, they get dealt chicken crap and turn it into chicken salad. Because by God, they said the ones we need to see after Hayata are GCW indie guys. That's what I love most. Stringer, you know me. I'm all about GCW. I watch all the light tubes and all of the sawdust and all those barnyards and all that bullcrap that they wrestle in. I want to see more of it. And NOAH is giving us what we want. It's giving us what the people want. And I mean, in Japan, of course, GCW is so popular as well. These guys are huge draws. Dante Leon, man. This is who the people want to see. So I want to see it myself. And I love it. I love it, Striga.
Wow. Okay.
Genius bookers. Big Kendo, where are you at, brother? He needs to get a title shot next.
Haven't you heard that Nosawa Ranga is booking everything now?
Nosawa, I love him. He's retiring. How could you leave us, man? You've given us such a great NOAH product over the years and so many great Hayata pushes, which is the thing I associate most with him. And it's all going to come to an end soon, Striga. And what are we going to do? I mean, can you imagine a world where Hayata is not the junior champion?
No. I don't want to live in a world where Hayata is not the junior champion. Well, we're living in it right now.
Too late? But we have GCW to fill that hole and that void for us. So thankfully, that is one.
To be perfectly honest, do you agree with my point that Hayata will regain the championship?
Oh, I'm sure he will. I've especially hammered home over the years. Stinger always wins in the end, so I'm sure Hayata will get the title back as soon as possible after his injury. They might try and turn that into who even knows what they're going to load that Muto Dome show up with, at the end of the day. Will it be a NOAH show? I'm sure there's going to be a ton of interpromotional stuff. I think all the companies are probably going to have some kind of presence there. But if they wanted to do title matches on that show, have Hayata win it in the Dome, man. That's what we need to see. Him come back, and Hayata is a true superstar player in the title match in the Dome, semi-main event. Muto in the main event with whatever they have planned for that. And then in the semi-main event, Hayata, the name right under him on the billing, his desperate quest to reclaim the title that he never truly lost. That's what we need, Striga. That will sell out the Dome on Hayata's shoulders. People will give credit to Muto, but I think Hayata will be the true superstar draw of this generation.
There's nothing I can add to the rant that you just gave about Hayata.
This all sucked. this whole title reign, please end it. But I do agree with you. Unfortunately, I agree. But I do think that's possible if they could actually have that title match in the Dome and have him back, unfortunately. But we'll see. I will say the junior tag match I actually thought was pretty good, the one on the other show. And I mainly like it because I like with Yoshioka and Kotage. They have actually done a good job. I think all of Kotage's teams, whether it's Harada, Yohei, or this one, I like how he blends himself and like they feel like a real team, you know what I'm saying? So I think that's good. Like, the match wasn't that great or super exciting or anything like that, but I like that they feel like a real team at least, and they're adding some stability to these tag titles. And I'm sure they're working with the Congo team stuff. Maybe it'll be okay. Like, we'll see. I like I said, I like them as a team at least, though. That's something that I think that the division sorely needs, because I think the singles championship is not in a good place and hasn't been for a long time.
Yes, one more match announced. It's supposed to be the dark match, or the match zero on that show, and we can talk about Yoshiki Inamura a bit. He's teaming with Kai Fujimura against Yasutaka Yano and Taishi Osawa. Yoshiki Inamura was the guy that probably gained the most of that Muto six-man tag match on the Ariake show. He looked great in that match, and once again, proved that he is at the wrong position at the card. He should be much higher.
Oh, I 1,000,000,000% agree with that. Like you said, he was the best guy in that whole match, even with Tanahashi in the same match. Like, Inamura was the one that really got a lot of shine in there, like, loved what he brought to the table. But the thing is, we already have known he's great for a long time now. Like, you know, you could have said this. I remember, we talked about Kaito earlier. Remember in that same show where Muto won the title, they won the tag match against Mara Fuji and Akiyama. Yep. There were so many ways they could go with both men after that, and just a total, they fumbled the bag, like, way, like, terribly so, and I think Inamura just as bad as
so
that.
Weird how they, it's, once again, a promotion that makes so many weird choices, much like All Japan we talked about here before. All Japan and Noah, they are in a same position when it goes to making decisions for their young talent. They have this obvious star in front of them, but they just choose to not go with them.
You know, I really can't understand it at all. Like, I wish I had some kind of...
It should be so easy, shouldn't it?
I mean, this guy in particular, this Inamura, it should be the easiest put. Like he has everything it takes. Size, presence, in-ring. Like, everything about him is awesome. But, like you said, you know, just some weird decisions. But let's just face it, you know, what good decisions has this company made?
very few.
Yeah. Well, what can we really point at and say this is the success story of Noah in 2022? Who is that guy other than obviously the legendary Hayata?
You hear the sound of silence from me.
So nobody, pretty much. I tried to give him a chance, ladies and gentlemen, and he can't come up with the answers. I can't come up with the answers. Who is it? Like, nobody knows at this point. I'm really struggling to think of, like, legitimately.
No, it's really hard. I mean, you can't name Kenno, you can't say Nakajima, you can't say Kaito.
Kenno might be the closest.
Kenno might be. Thatcher's got a decent build, but he's not a homegrown guy.
No, and like, you know, it's just going to be interesting to see. I mean, if he can stick around, he's a great player. I know he's had a lot of visa issues and stuff, but I love him as a wrestler. Like, don't get me wrong, but I mean, and he doesn't feel like he's an important wheel going forward. Like, you know, other than this title match, like, after that, where is his spot really going to be?
Yeah, he's going to be slotted back in the position where he is. Maybe he'll get an eventual tag title match and a tag title run with Hideki Suzuki, and that is about... Which they did already, and that is about a ceiling, I guess.
Yeah, maybe like they could. I would love if one of those guys, Hideki.
Maybe he can be national champion.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say. Like, if Hideki or Thatcher can win that national title, I think that they could, like, rebuild that a little bit. Because, like I said, even that match, it's not like I thought that was some amazing match with Sakuraba and Funaki. It was cool and all, but I like the national title because I think that it has an actual purpose, like, stylistically, to have these kind of matches. And I think Hideki and Thatcher are great candidates to carry on that lineage if they wanted to do that. So if Thatcher could do that, that would be great. But he doesn't feel like a big... And remember, that's another thing we have to look at. We love Thatcher because we've watched him a long time, and we both really respect him, and I think a lot of the English-speaking fans respect him. But I think to a lot of the... You know, he never wrestled in Japan before this year, like with Noah. He's still relatively new to the Noah audience. And I think that that's something that we have to think about as well. Like you said, they built him up relatively well, but I think that he still needs a little bit more time to really feel like a Noah guy. And I think that's a point I really wanted to make on this whole show, actually, like about this Noah show. And going forward, I was much higher on the Muto Dome show and Nakamura and all that than you, but I feel like this company has absolutely zero identity at the moment. And what's going to happen when Muto retires after that? Because I feel like after that happens, what's their identity? You know, in terms of pro wrestling Noah, what will we think of this company?
Yeah, that's the company where Muto retired. And basically they have to build from scratch. They have to completely renew what they stand for.
And the sad thing is that they have this rich history that they in theory could draw upon, but they've gone so far away from it and seemingly like purposely rejected their own history for reason.
We've said it before, it's not the company of Misawa anymore, and that is very obvious, but what company are they? What do they want to be?
That's the thing. I remember when all like they finally sold the company at like the original time to Uchida. Noah the Reborn had an identity.
Yep.
Like it wasn't the best era, like by any stretch of the imagination. They were setting building blocks for the future, but they had an identity for themselves. And I think that they've really missed out on a lot of that in the last couple of years. And they pushed so much around Muto that I think, like I said, I predict, maybe I'll be wrong, but I predict that it will pay off in the end for this one show, but at what cost to the overall company? And I think that that's going to be something really interesting to look at going into 2023. What will this company's identity be a year from now? Because I think that like what you said is totally right. They have to completely...
Let's make a prediction here.
Yeah.
What's the identity of the company in late 2023?
So yeah, about a year from now. Let's see. Like looking at where they have now, like let's look at this roster here because we have Kaito. I think that at that point, like Muto's retired and been gone for a few months. Who knows? Maybe he's already come back by then. Maybe that would be their identity. Muto is making his return in late 2023. But besides that, I think that they are going to be a company where I think, and maybe I'll be wrong on this, because we've said it so many times over the years, and even now I thought there was a chance they could do this. I think that they're going to do something with Kongo where there's going to be a major split, and I think that is going to be their main story in 2023, is with Keno and Nakajima.
I would have said the same, but that is a story, you know? That's not an identity. Yeah. It's one story you can go behind. Ultimately, I think with the roster they have on hand, it is hard to build a true identity because there's so many guys coming out and in with the company. They had this deal when they build around Nakajima, when they build around Keno, they had this great main event style and Sugiura was still in there. They have to go back to that. That should be their identity, the heavyweight style that they had before they turned to Keiji Muto as champion.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Turn back the wheel.
And they already teased Go coming back at some point as well. So that's a good call on your part, String. Yeah, you're totally right. Like what I've said was more of a story. That's not an identity overall. But I think that they could build something with the guys they have. And they just need, I think if anything else, they need a lot of stability going into 2023 because I don't think they have that right now. It's going to be interesting. And hey, I have a question. What's Muto, is he going to still have a role backstage after he retires? Is he going to still be hanging around or... What's that going to turn into, I wonder?
How long is his contract, actually? When did he sign the contract?
I remember they talked about how his contract expired before his retirement. Like, he set that up, like, where... And they ended up having to bid for it, because he was like, I'll do a show on my own if they don't pay what I want.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know if that's true. I don't have his contract right in front of me, String. I'll have to give him a call after the show and see. Like, I'll ask him directly, but that's the rumors that at least was going on.
It was in February of last year, after the Budokan show. Let's see. Keiji Muto signed a deal as wrestler with Pro Wrestling Noah. Was it for 2 years or was it for 1 year? I'm not sure, actually, right now.
Well, either way, that's a wrestler contract.
It's a wrestler contract. Yes, it was a wrestler contract that he signed.
Yeah, I don't think that would have anything to do. It's just will he want to stick around backstage?
Mm-hmm. If he does, my idea of turning back the wheel, I don't think will come into fruition.
time to bring back Wrestle One style into Noah. But no, I mean, it's going to be interesting. I think this is going to be a very interesting company to see, because I think that there's, like I said, at the end of the day, there's been some great matches in Noah this year. Their roster, to me, I've said it before and I'll say it again, this is the best one out of any company, just in terms of talent on the roster. But if you look at their roster, just like we said, there really is no success story to point to. Up and down. I think that tells you a lot, regardless of your opinions on the show or the company. If you're a devoted fan of Noah, which I love the company too. This is the one of the main companies I started watching when I first started watching wrestling. I want Noah to be successful as much as any other, but I just think that it's not been a great year for them. It's not even been a good year at all, I would say, for them. And I think that they. It's going to be interesting to see. But I think that at the very least, the one good thing you could say, because unlike All Japan, they didn't even have that 4-month run at the start of the year that they were good. I don't even think they had that, to be honest.
No.
But they have stuff to look forward to with this Dome show and with Nakamura coming in. That gives them a chance to springboard the company into something. If there's somebody backstage, and whoever it is, whether it's Nosawa, Kendo, Muto, executives, like Abima TV guys, like whoever it is, somebody needs to put their fist down and say, look, this is what we're doing, like in 2023. Whatever that path they want to go on is, they could use these shows to springboard forward into something big if they could maneuver themselves right, which they haven't really shown a capability of doing so far, but they have a chance to do it, and I would like to see them do it, and I hope they do, sincerely. Like, all, joking rants about Hayata aside, I want them to do it and be successful, because I think that there's a lot of talent on this roster that could make something spectacular if they're given the chance.
I agree with that. There is a lot to look forward to, but yeah, also a lot to be frustrated about. That's Noah in 2022, I guess.
Yeah,
so much for Pro Wrestling Noah. Originally, we planned to do a little bit on DDT's D-King Grand Prix that has just started, but to be quite honest, there isn't really a lot to say about the tournament right now.
If you want to hear more about it, go on the Patreon. Me and Yana covering every single match.
Right.
In fact, every single match. We have to say it right. Of the tournament.
Every single match. Not really anything to write home about yet. They are yes. Three shows in. And they already did 2 30-minute time limit draws. So that's where they are. I really wish that they would find something else that they could do, because I get that they want to do these 7-point or 5-point tables in the end, but they need to find something else to do instead of doing 30-minute draws with guys that can't go 30 minutes, like Daisuke Sasaki and Tetsuya Endo.
I think, spoiler alert, I didn't love the match.
It was bad.
Yes, it was. It will not win my match of the year award. I think that, Cyberfight needs to fire Takagi and prove Gerard wrong about him being a Hall of Famer. That's what I'm calling for.
Maybe we can take over Pro Wrestling Noah.
Isn't he already an executive in Noah?
I think he is an executive of Cyberfight.
Get rid of him. Like, he's got to go. Like, get rid of him from Noah. Get rid of him from DDT. Get rid of him from TJPW. Get rid of him from Ganbare Pro. Get rid of him from Union Pro. Get rid of him from Basara.
How dare you?
Get rid of him from Basara. Get rid of him from every single company possible. I don't care if Union Pro is dead. It's still alive in my heart.
The Union Pro Championship is alive still.
Who's the current Union Pro Champion? Put some respect on this man's name.
Sami Kodaka.
Exactly. Anytime there's like a random indie title, just presume that Kodaka is the champion, and you'll be right most of the time.
He actually is, for the fifth time now.
Good.
Yes.
Good beat.
I'm just looking at Sanjiro Takagi's profile here and see what he is.
They will not fire.
He is the CEO of Cyberfight, which owns DDT and Pro Wrestling Noah. So he has no direct position in Noah, but for both promotions. Yes.
Well, then that would help both promotions if they got rid of him.
So, maybe. So
he flipped that. He agreed with me.
No, not get rid of him. Don't get rid of him. What will we do, Dylan? What will we do if we can see Sanjiro Takagi versus the Paramounts?
I mean, it's a thing that many people love.
It's ended now because they told him to be serious because he's the owner, so he will oblige to that.
Well, the DDT GM guy, big props.
Yes.
For making
Minari.
Whatever. We're not talking about
what? No, we are going to talk about New Japan Pro Wrestling and their final stop of the Battle Autumn 2022 tour in Osaka Prefectural Gymnasium, actually the Osaka Edion Arena, how it's named now. 4,006 fans in attendance. It was very important to name the six fans that they were there. No vacancy, so that doesn't mean it was a complete sellout, but a good house for New Japan Pro Wrestling. I thought the crowd looked good. Thought the crowd made some noise in the way they could. And more importantly for New Japan Pro Wrestling, I do think that this was one of the best shows of the year that they put on. And I would go as far, and I said it when I watched the show live, this undercard was one of the best undercards I've ever seen New Japan Pro Wrestling deliver, where the bar isn't that high usually, because remember in years back they had like these 8-man tag openers with the third generation. I mean, I love all these guys, but they are already in the last steps of their careers. Some of them are already retired, with Tenza, Nakanishi being in 8-man tag matches. And those opening matches really weren't any good. But now, the undercard was really, really good. It started out with the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Tag Team title match, where TJP and Francesco Akira defended against Bushi and Titan, who are strong contenders to be my new favorite tag team because I love these two together. I think they are add so much to each other's profile. They beat them in about 12 minutes in a really, really fast-paced match. I really liked that. I think who was it that pointed it out to me? I think Peps, the user Peps Wrestling was who pointed
Shout
it out
to Peps to Wrestling.
Yes, that they now stream the opener of these shows live on YouTube for free. So they don't put these boring 8-man tag matches in the first position anymore, but they put a match in the opener that is really good and that really catches the attention of the audience because this one did.
Yeah, you know, I think that's a smart thing. Dragon Gate really started that trend originally. We've seen All Japan put that Young Lion match on their YouTube page. Hopefully we see some more companies, you know, take this path, because I think this is a really smart idea. I think that more than anything, I just think Titan adds so much to this whole division,
yes,
to be honest with you. And like, yeah, Bushi's all right, but Titan is really, really great. And I think that he's somebody that can be a top player. He was already one of the best guys in Mexico all years. He's had a fantastic run in CMLL this year. He had some great matches with Místico and Niebla Roja earlier this year, singles matches, free
yes.
on YouTube as well.
Great stuff, actually.
Yeah, he's just a tremendous performer all around.
Also, recently had a great match with Suicida, I think is the name of the guy.
And he also had a run in the Best of Super Juniors this year as well. So I think that he's a guy that they can really build around and be a fresh face for this whole division. Him, and if they want to continue doing this team with Bushi, that would be fine too. I think that he's great in any sort of role that they want to give him. And hopefully they, you know, and I think that they could do something really cool, you know, if they wanted to build an LIJ-focused storyline going into next year where Hiromu could be the junior champion and then these two could have the junior tag title belts. You could have everybody with gold if you wanted to get behind that. You know, I don't think that'll happen, but I think that you could do a lot with Titan, and I hope that they use him. You know, and we've seen guys before, like your Mascara Doradas, who's a really good wrestler in his own right, but they never really did anything with him when he was in New Japan. So hopefully Titan has a little bit better luck, because I think he's a fantastic, like one of the best wrestlers on the roster, in my opinion. If they can get behind him, I think he can do many great things, and he's already winning over a lot of people that maybe aren't that familiar with him in CMLL. I think just seeing him right away, he fits in at LIJ really well, and it's awesome. Great thing for him, too. I know he really wanted to be the original Los Ingobernables in CMLL, but things changed and Mascara took his spot after that happened for all kinds of reasons. But now he can do it in New Japan with this LIJ gimmick, and I think he'll do a fantastic job.
Yes, absolutely. He's a great addition to the roster. Next up, we had the Japanese New Japan debut for Aussie Open. And Mark Davis and Kyle Fletcher, they teamed with their United Empire mates, Aaron Henare and Gideon Gray, defeating Hiroshi Tanahashi, Toru Yano, David Finlay, and Alex Zane, 9 minutes. Nice undercut opening match. Big win for Aussie Open. They got to pin Toru Yano. Yano is not a guy who usually eats a lot of pinfalls, so that is a notable win for these two guys. They recently had an amazing match with FTR on the London shows that New Japan Pro Wrestling did. They also had a very good match with the Briscoes on House of Glory just, I think, 1 week ago. I saw the show just recently on Fight, because Fight Now has this great $5 deal. And yeah, they are on a strong run this year. They mentioned after the match that they are looking at to wrestle FTR once more. And I tweeted that out. If that happened in the Tokyo Dome next year, I would really be for it, because they have great chemistry with one another.
Yeah, you know, whatever. Like, I mean, I'm not a big fan of these foreigners, to be honest with you.
Oh. Great call on your part. Whatever.
Yeah, like, I mean, to me, they're just not that good, in all honesty. Like, I know a lot of people like them. I know I'm probably in a little bit of a minority. But, like, they're fine. It's not like I hate them or anything, which is probably better than most indie guys that they can bring in. But they're not moving the needle for me where it's like, oh, I mean, like, even FTR, you know, like, their match on this show wasn't, like, spectacular.
No, it was good.
Yeah, it's like, they'll have a fine match, like, but it's not like, oh, Aussie Open and FTR, that's really, you know, oh, I can't wait for that. It's like, oh, okay. Like, that's kind of how I feel about them. Like, they're a fine team. There's nothing to get excited about, in my opinion.
I'm excited about these two guys, because I really think that they are good. I'm looking forward to that tag league run, at least.
Well, we don't know who's in the tag league, because they never announced it.
No, they will probably after a historic crossover, I think, that they will announce that. Yeah, next up, we had the match that you already alluded to at the beginning of the show, where you said that the worked shoot angle with Carl Anderson helped the match. And I partly agree, because this put a lot more eyes on Hikuleo and Yujiro Takahashi than there would have been initially. So they did an angle where they attacked Hikuleo before the bell, then the bell rang, and he beat Yujiro Takahashi in 28 seconds with a choke slam. So the best thing they could do was really go in there, have you Hikuleo win strong, and just get out of there. That's probably the best that they could come up with.
And let's not forget poor Sho also getting destroyed as well.
Yes.
He was the one that came in to attack him, so I watched this crap, so we're going to bring this up on there. Yeah, I mean, like, this is perfect. Like, this is exactly...
That's a great angle.
Yeah, exactly. Like, nobody cares about Yujiro. Like, if you want to push Hikuleo, just do it. Like, don't waste time. Like, Yujiro is never going to be anything in this company. So if he's going to be... one of their best matches, remember, was that G1 match with Jay, which was another, like, really quick match. That was a great angle, like, match as well. So I think that it's perfect use of both men. The problem is, though, it's the same thing. It's like, okay, everyone's been talking about this whole never stuff for a million years, it seems like, but it's really been more like a month. The problem is that this is all building to Carl Anderson versus Hikuleo, which I don't want to see, no matter what they do.
Nobody, this match, that is a match that nobody actually can get behind. I can't imagine anyone saying, oh, a match that I would really love to see is Carl Anderson and Hikuleo. Who says that?
Nobody. nobody that I've seen. Maybe there's somebody out there. Hey, if you are a big hype,
yes, for please, this match, let us know if you exist.
Yeah, we just need to know if you exist.
Yeah. Okay.
We will give you your praise next go around.
Next show, there is a person that exists in this world that actually gets excited about these two wrestling.
And that's the thing. It's like, ultimately, this guy, like, Hikuleo, I don't want to be mean to him, like, but it's not like I'm looking forward to a lot of his matches by any stretch.
No, I want to say, though, to be serious for a minute here, I think that he has grown a lot in recent... he's already a tall guy, but from his wrestling side, he has become much better than he used to do 2 years ago. So that's at least where he is at right now. It's still not that he is a great wrestler or anything, but he at least knows how to use his size, and he knows how to move inside the ring to be what he is. That's the tall guy of Hontai right now.
Yeah, and I think that could be fine. You know, again, it's not something that's lighting my world on fire, but again, I said it on the last episode, for this whole thing, the best thing about it is that they're actually doing something a little bit different, and I think that's something that the company really needs bad. Overall, like, more than like being bad or good, I think the company is just really stale in a lot of ways, up and down. So when you do something different, that catches my eye and I give it more of a chance, even if it's something that I personally am not super hype about. So I think that they did something different with this whole build up. Hikuleo, they've done a good job with. We'll see what he could do. You know, and like I said, I'm for giving new guys a chance. I just, with him specifically, I don't know if it'll pan out. But like I said, I want to see what he can do in the New Japan ring, because I think there's a big gap between Strong and Impact and the New Japan ring, in my opinion. So I want to see what he can do on that end.
Yeah, at this point of the card, we went to the New Japan World TV title matches, the semifinal matches. Ren Narita, he made it to the final, defeating Sanada in 14-31. It took Narita a bit to get over all the Sanada-isms. Of course, we had the Paradise Lock twice. We had the O'Connor Bridge. We had Dragon Sleeper, what's it called, the Skull End. That's all that Ren Narita had to escape from to get to the point where he could land his offense with the Manjigatame and also with the Sleeper Hold he locked in with Sanada. Like that in the final minutes of the match, where he locked the Sleeper in multiple times to prevent Sanada from using any more of his offense. He also blocked the O'Connor Bridge, much like Zack Sabre had done in the past as well, or maybe Sanada had done on Zack Sabre, vice versa, who knows. They usually used to do that. They block each other's bridges. And Narita had it scouted here as well for Sanada, and he then was able to get the surprise pinfall in the end with his Kanuki suplex hold, the front belly-to-belly suplex hold. That is a great finish, to be quite honest. And Narita, he has some great finishes. He also has the Cobra Twist, or the Manjigatame, as I alluded to right now. A couple of great moves that he can use to finish off guys, and this is the great one for surprising finishes. With the Kanuki hold, I really like that. So they, in the end, they are really behind this guy, and they delivered on what, at least partly, they delivered on what they said initially, that this title is going to be about the younger generation, and at least for Narita, it is true.
Yeah, he has that that flying knee into like a stomp type of move that he used in that mm-hmm. one match earlier. He's used the Kanuki suplex a couple of times. A really good move. The Narita special number 4, you know, back in the old days. But the match with Ishii was, like, clearly the highlight of this whole tournament. I feel like I reviewed all the matches up to this point on the Patreon as well. I did a whole show with all the tournament matches. So, again, you get a little bit of everything covered on there. But that was the best match of the tournament. This was a pretty solid match. The thing with Narita is, when we saw him wrestle Ishii, he's a guy that I've always been a huge fan of. Like, I thought he was the best young lion of his class when it came to just wrestling. Mm-hmm. I thought, you know, a lot of people really liked Umino, and we're going to talk about him at the end of this show. But I thought that, no, Narita is he's the best wrestler. In terms of star power, I really questioned what they were going to do with him. Were they going to see it in him? But I think after that match with Ishii, that was, to me, the best New Japan match of the year.
Like, I agree 100%. I've that noted in my spreadsheet that I have as one of the matches that I will surely consider for my top 10 this year.
And it well-deserved. And both of them. Ishii, his legacy just continues to grow as time. It's like every time he's been in a big match, it doesn't matter who it is. Like, it continues. And Narita, definitely, if there was some kind of test for him, he's passed him. And we already knew he was great. Anyway, one of the other best matches was him and Shibata at the start of the year. So, and Ishii and Tanahashi. So it's like they've all got the best matches.
But the question really was, with the track record of bringing back guys in recent years, will they just allow him to wrestle to his strengths? When we just think about what we just said about Kaito Kiyomiya, yeah, where Noah isn't allowing him to wrestle to his strengths. New Japan just said, fuck it. We will just present this guy as the perfect blend between Antonio Inoki and Katsuyori Shibata.
Well, mostly Shibata, like, in all honesty. Like, it's clear that this is like a complete... And that's kind of my worry. I think that... And I know everyone loves it. It's great. We all love Shibata. I do think he could he would benefit from maybe adding something, just maybe even to his look, just to separate himself a little bit from Shibata, because he's so similar to him, not just in terms of his wrestling, because, you know, Shibata, you could trace everything back to Inoki if you want.
Yeah.
But there's been other badass wrestlers before. You know, it's not like Shibata's the only one to do that. It's just he looks so similar to him. I wish that he would add something to his
What
look.
Would he... What's the thing that he should add to differentiate himself?
It's not anything big. It's not, like, a very minor criticism. I just think that maybe something in his hair, like a different hair color, maybe.
Yeah.
You know, maybe a little bit different color, a stripe on his tights a little bit, something like that. Some different colors. Like, just very minor aesthetic improvements. Or not even improvements, but because his look is great as it is. I just think that it's too similar to Shibata. Maybe it works great now, but I'd like to see him develop a little bit of his own style, to add into that, an evolution of Shibata, almost, I would love to see that. But I mean, he's a great worker. Like, to me, he's already a top, like, to me, and I said this on the Patreon, and I kind of felt that way even before he left, but I definitely feel that way seeing him back. He's already a top five wrestler, like, in ring to me in this company. I think he's one of the best in the whole company. When I see his name, I get excited about his matches, and that's going to continue, heading all the way to the Tokyo Dome. Even this match versus Sonata. Sonata, he's okay. Like I said, he's not as bad as he was, for a little while there. I mean, that match versus Kenta in the tournament was pretty bad, to be honest. I didn't think that was a great match with all the stalling and everything. But regardless, Sonata's okay. This match was pretty good. One of the better Sonata ones I can remember, to be honest.
Yeah, absolutely.
See, so Narita, great wrestler. Like I said, I like his gimmick, but I just think that it's a little too on the nose. Because it's like, okay, this is another thing. It's like, okay, we get it. He looks like Shibata. Everyone said this, literally everyone has said this on Twitter at some point. Like, oh, he reminds me of Shibata. It's like, clearly that's what they're going for. I just wish that they would... like I said, that was just my... And it doesn't even have to be right now. Maybe next year, after he wins the title, he can add a little bit of color to his attire. Just a little different thing. That's all I'm saying.
I got a question. Do you think that is part of the reason why they haven't let Shibata wrestle in New Japan this year?
I wonder. I mean, obviously, he just wrestled last night.
Yeah, so he's definitely cleared.
Which we knew anyway, because he wrestled in January. So yeah. I don't know what... Like, I mean... I would really love to know the thinking. Maybe they're just fearful, like overly cautious. Maybe that is some kind of reason. But I mean, Narita hasn't been around all year, you know. Like, so they could have had Shibata wrestle at any point, really. It feels like I don't know. That's a great question, because I think he would add a lot to the company if they would let him wrestle, because you know he wants to. He busted his ass to even get that match in, so it's crazy. Like, that's crazy booking, but again, that's par for the course for some of Gato's decisions. But I think that's an interesting comment. I wonder if that will... I wonder if that will affect anything moving forward, but, I think that you have a story as well. Hey, I think that you could do a similar thing to what they did with Tanahashi when he won the G1, where Shibata came out beside him. I think that they should do that in the Tokyo Dome. Have Shibata come out with Narita. As his mentor, and raise his hand and lift him on his shoulders and all that. Like, they need to do that at the Tokyo Dome, really put this guy over, because that's kind of where I was going. I always knew he was a great wrestler, and he clearly is proving that, but he feels like a guy that could be a legit star for this company. Like, the early testings of it, I think that match with Ishii, that crowd was rallying behind this man and making him seem like a main event player. I think if they really want to get behind him, I'm really excited about his future, actually. I think he's got a great run in him. I think that they had to see that Ishii match and see the crowd reaction to him and all of that, of what came afterwards. They have to see this guy as a future star of some level, maybe not the top champion, but at least a guy that could be in this main event mix at some point. So I hope that they go out with a presentation, put in Shibata there, raise his hand, and then challenge him to a match for the title right after the match, and have Shibata and Narita again. Not for the TV title, is what I want to see.
And he's going to face the perfect guy for this final of the tournament. Zack Sabre Jr. defeated King of Darkness Evil in about 5 minutes, where they did this great angle with first Kosei Fujita and then Ryo Iowa coming out, or Fujita was dragged out by Togo, and then Iowa came out as a disguised Zack Sabre Jr., and they did this great photo afterwards where the Young Lions looked like Sabre, and also in the promo before, Sabre had Fujita talk into the camera in his English. That was really funny stuff. And yeah, they did a great deal in this match where they just made this match into an angle, and it helped tremendously because otherwise we would have had a regular 10-minute evil match, which nobody wants to see. And so it was a short match, and it concluded an undercard that I really, really liked. And I can't remember when I the last time came off a New Japan undercard in such a great mood, because I really liked basically all that they did on this in these first five matches.
Yeah, you know, the match doesn't matter at all, like this Evil and Zach deal. The main thing is that Zach won, so he gets this awesome final for the tournament.
Yeah, and it is very meaningful, too, because it's Ren Arita against Zack Sabre Jr. It is the two guys that Katsuyori Shibata last wrestled in New Japan Pro Wrestling.
I'm telling you, Shibata versus Narita, that needs to be where they're headed for this TV title.
Like, yeah, I was thinking the same, too. That would be a great deal for Narita.
Yeah, and me
as a viewer. For us as the fans too. Sure.
Yeah. That's who I care about. I mean, I love Naruto. I wish him the best. I think he could be a top star, just like I just said. But mostly for the fans, we get to see these amazing matches with him. And Zach is a great opponent. Put him against him, and I think it's a great role for him in the dome to have this singles match. And I have to say, like I said, I didn't love this tournament overall, you know, outside of the Ishii and Narita match. I thought the Yoshihashi Cobb match was good. You had a couple of good matches in that
Taichi
first couple.
Taichi and Zanada was good, too.
Yeah, that was good. Like, that was another good one, you know. But the tournament wasn't that spectacular, but I come away with this final. I'm pretty excited about this title, like, with the time limit. They worked that throughout the tournament as well. They had a couple of matches go, like, yes, right up to the 15-minute time limit almost.
Yeah, the Taichi and Zanada one was the closest, where it did, I think it was 14:57 in the end.
Uh-huh.
And they also made sure in that match, that match wasn't only good, it was great, to be quite honest, because also in the end, after Zanada pinned Taichi, they had Taichi show the stopwatch into the camera, where it actually really stated 14:57, so that wasn't a worked number.
Well, hey, there you go. Like I said, right there, keeping things legit right now in New Japan. But yeah, like I said, the tournament wasn't that great overall. There was a couple of good matches and one really, really great one. But I'm really excited about this title. I think that it's a good thing. Like the stipulation is a really great one. I think it's going to help out a lot of their wrestlers. I hope that they do kind of, you know, let Narita do his thing, match him up with people that can really work his style, and let him just have show-stealing matches, because I think he could definitely get it done on every show. He's not going to overstay his welcome, and I think that's going to actually add a little bit to his aura a little bit to the fans, where he's not getting overexposed. You know, he shows a little bit at a time, and you want to see more of him. And, you know, he's a guy that, by the end of it, if they play their cards right, when G1 comes around, he's going to be one of the guys that everyone eyes the most, because now mm-hmm. he'll be outside of the 15-minute time limit. What will he do? Yeah, you know, like, I think that would be a great story for him. So I'm really excited about this title. I love the final. Zach and Narita, that's like, that could totally steal the Dome show, in my opinion. I think that could be a great match, and I'm glad we got to it. Really good stuff overall. And like I said, I was very hyped for this title match by the end of it as well.
Yeah. Next up, we had a stipulation that we know from Mexico, where they do tournaments like that, where they just have a raffle and mix up teams. That's at least the story behind it. So the four guys for the junior title match in the Tokyo Dome, they got mixed up in a tag team match with Master Wato and El Desperado teaming up against Taiji Ishimori and Hiromu Takahashi, who in the end worked out surprisingly well as a tag team, as a tag team that worked together, whereas Wato and Desperado were more like the dysfunctional tag team. And I thought they played this very well, with some cool spots and laid out some spots that they will definitely go back to when they do the eventual four-way in the Tokyo Dome. So to me, this was a win and a good build-up to the match.
Yeah, you know, the match was okay. Like, this didn't really, like, light my world on fire, to be honest with you. But I did think that they continue to all, like, this is a good mix. I'm really not into the idea of the title match. I think that's really why I'm a little bit lower on it than you. Just because the four-way, we've seen it done so many times in Japan.
I know that, and I agree with you still, though. I thought that these four made the best out of the situation.
And they wrestle good. So like, I mean, I'm sure the match will be good. I'm just not that hype over it, mm-hmm. right? More or less. And like, this was a fine match. There's nothing wrong with it. You know, I thought everybody looked really good here. You know, you had a lot of good action. You know, like, Hiromu, Desperado, Ishimori. And I think that people are now coming along to what I said like a year ago, that Wato's gotten better. I think people are now realizing that.
He has grown a lot in this past year, and they still go with the story that he doesn't belong in the title picture, and I wouldn't be surprised if he in the end comes up winning the junior title.
I'm for it, because of all four of them, it would mean the most for him.
Right?
Yeah. Like
we don't need the fourth Tokyo Dome show in a row where Hiromu Takahashi becomes champion. We don't need that.
Or any of them. Like Ishimori, Desperado, they don't need the title. Like, you know, like Wato, it would at least mean something. So I'm all for that, honestly. Like, I'm not going to say he's the best. Like, obviously, like, these are top-tier workers that he's in the ring with, so obviously he might not be as good as Hiromu or Desperado or Ishimori, but it would mean the most for him. So I'm all for that. Yeah, this was a good match as well. Like I said, I'm just not hyped for this. Mm. I would have rather it have been a singles match at the Dome, and we could have worked our way through these four guys, or maybe built to it later. I don't love it at the Dome. So I'm still a little down on the title match, but yeah, the wrestling is going to be really good. They proved it here again.
The next match. This next match. Katsushika Okada and Tama Tonga defeated Jay White and Kenta. And I just can't get over how Jay White looked at Okada and said, "How is your chest?" Who asked that? Who in his right mind goes up to a guy and says, "How is your chest? Dylan, how is your chest?"
My chest is fine. You know, I'd answer that if somebody wanted to know. I mean, listen, what about the injuries? What about his heart issues? We don't know what's going on with Okada behind the scenes. You know, maybe Jay White knows something we don't about some kind of diagnosis. Like maybe he had a pectorial.
You're investing a lot of thoughts into this weird question.
I'm trying to make sense of it, Striga. Clearly it amused you.
But what a weirdo.
Well, when you say it like that, yes, but I'm trying to give him the benefit of the doubt. That's all.
It's usually my job for Jay White, but I just couldn't get over it.
Well, listen, I his wrestling, I think one way, but I'm just nothing against him as a person. You're trying to take things personal right now. You're saying this man's a weirdo right now.
Yeah, it's a weirdo question. That's what I'm saying.
Okay, I'm just saying, like, you know, if you had a chest injury, I would ask you about it, honestly. Like, if there was some kind of chest injury, maybe he had a pectoral strain or something. Yeah. You know,
do you think he was asking an honest question? Do you think that?
Oh, I think it was completely legit. I think everything's a shoot in wrestling, especially this question.
Yes, and yeah, man. The upside on this match, definitely, in my opinion, was Kenta, because he was working hard, especially in the finishing moments of the match. Finishing minutes with Tama Tonga, I thought, looked good. He was bringing out some hard strikes, some hard slaps to Tama Tonga. So Kenta was at least trying something here. But the match overall, no heat, and I don't think anybody is really into the story.
No, I think Kenta, he's another guy. He really struggled in a couple. Like I said, that Sonata match in the tournament really wasn't that good. And the first match he had where he messed up the go to sleep wasn't good either. So I think that Kenta, he's a guy that his character work is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
His in-ring, I think, definitely is just not at... It's not up to par anymore. There's just no other way to say it, you know, at the end of the day. And Tonga, I think this is actually a really good role for him in, like, a tag team where he could come off, you know, get hot tags, make fiery moves. He was really going hard with Kenta. I said – this is something I said on the Patreon about – we didn't really even talk about the show that much, I don't think, where he challenged for the title. But, like, main event Tonga, that's not playing to his strengths. Mm-hmm. I think he'd be a perfect guy for, like, a TV title match.
Oh, yes. Oh, he would excel in these 15-minute time limit matches.
Yeah, if they want to keep him bubbling, and maybe if they're, you know, when Narita has a great TV title reign, and they're ready to move on, I think Tonga could be a great TV champion in the future. And
that's
be somebody
a great
that
call.
Yeah, I think that would be a great role for him. But, I liked him. They worked hard here. Like you said, Jay and Okada...
Because to your point, just quickly here, the 30-minute match that he had with Jay White, he was really struggling to get that match done. And Jay White, of course, was too, because it's it doesn't play to either guy's strengths to do these 30-minute matches. They are just much better, both of them actually, when they do the 15 to 18-minute match.
Yeah, you know, there's not really a lot of those for Jay that I can point to, but I can see where
the Okada match a couple of years ago in the Tokyo Dome.
Oh yeah, yeah, you're right. Yeah, you're totally right on that. Actually, that was one of his better matches. Honestly, like, you're totally right on that. And so yeah, I would love to see that. I just think main event player is a step too far. Yeah, you're right for both of them, really. But you know, Tonga was really what I was thinking. But Jay, you could definitely make an argument for. Like I said, there's just not a lot of. It feels like this just isn't an interesting title match, no matter how you try and sell it to anybody. Like, the only interest is where Okada will get his big moment, you know, at the end, which we've seen a ton of times already. And that's kind of what the point I made earlier, that the problem with this company, it's not bad, like, up and down. It's just really stale and boring a lot of the times. And I think that's really what hurts it. That's why I appreciate when they do different things. And obviously this title match is not any kind of different thing, but you know, hopefully they can do something to get behind it. Like you said, I would love to see a shorter match, but I do expect an epic, yeah. You know, the Tokyo
35 to 40 minutes, 55.
Yeah, 55. 45. Oh, no. So we're getting really crazy right now. How is my chest going to be? My heart might stop at the end of this.
I'm making sure to ask about
that. Yes, but that needs to be a storyline on this show going forward, is how is your chest at the end of the day? But yeah, the match was all right. Like you said, I thought Tonga worked really hard. Kenta was okay. Like, and the other two didn't, you know, capture my heart and an imagination.
Didn't capture your chest. Okay. So. Yeah. You mentioned already the tag title match, and yeah, they positioned it in the semi-main position, and they wanted to make this big because Dex Howard and Cash Wheeler came in for the first time, and you could see that they really thought for them it was a big deal to be on this show. But I wonder how the fans saw it, how it came across in the perception of the Japanese audience, because there wasn't any kind of big reaction to this match. For no tag, for no hot tag, there was any kind of big deal reaction that I could really point to. So in the end, it was a good match, but it was on the lower end of FTR matches that I've seen this year. Still, though, the Great Okan and Jeff Cobb, I thought, looked good against them and looked like viable challenges against these two that are presented as the best tag team in the world right now. I don't know if it was the right decision to have this match without them coming in and wrestle matches beforehand on the tour. But then again, they probably can't because they are on AEW television so much. So in the end, the question remains, was it the right decision to make them IWGP Tag Team Champions? And from what I saw here, I don't think it was the right decision, but it still makes the IWGP Tag Team title much more than it used to be in years past, where it was just passed around in the mid-card. Here, at least, it has a prominent position again, and it also has the international flair back to it with FTR. But it would look better on a team like Great Okan and Jeff Cobb right now. Another silver lining of this should be that the World Tag League this year is actually a number one contender tournament, and not in this weird ways in the last couple of years where the champions either were defeated in the final or had to be eliminated in a weird way before. So that's an upside. But still, though, FTR not being able to be there a lot is a problem, in my opinion.
Yeah, you know, I just think that this title reign, it hasn't done a lot for New Japan. They're a very good team. Like, I really like them. You know, they had a great run in AEW this year. All the tag titles they've had, amazing match versus the Briscoes and Ring of Honor and all that stuff early on. We had one of the best matches. Like, I totally get that. I just think that the way they've executed this with the tag titles hasn't really been to anybody's benefit. Maybe. And I actually don't think even they have gotten a lot out of it just with how they ran it in AEW. I don't think this has really benefited anybody ultimately. No. Like you said, hopefully they can have a big match at the Dome and it all turns out worth it. But Like I was saying, you know, a lot of these guys, they're just, like, the Japanese fans haven't connected with them, and they haven't really been given
And how can they really connect with these guys if they are just not around?
Yeah, they haven't been given reason to. That's exactly what I was going to say. Hopefully the tournament plays out well. I know a lot of people are going to always be down on the tag league in New Japan, and for good reason. Like, it's not that you're wrong to feel that way. Like you said, the titles haven't meant a lot. I mean, they don't mean a lot now, even with FTR, but they haven't meant a lot ever, really, in many, many years. So I understand that. I think that Naruto and Shibata should win the tag titles and just make them double champion.
Oh, yeah.
Have them go for
Let's do that.
Yeah, forget about all this other stuff with Okan and Cobb. Let's put Naruto. That's going to be my answer to everything in New Japan. Naruto should be like the one to pick. It's like in America where I would say Bryan Danielson should be the one. It's same thing here. Like, Naruto is now that guy. He will be in all of my title situations in my fantasy bookings. But no, it'll be interesting. It'll be more interesting when we see the tournament. You know, and after we get to the historic crossover, like you said, hopefully they'll debut the lineup and we can really look at things. How are they going to run it? Is it going to be one of those long, you know, 18 teams, one block show like they had last year? You know, or is there going to be two blocks? Who's in it? After we see that, I think we can get a better vibe to where they have planned. I don't really sense the problem. Like, the same problem in this whole deal is like, okay, this was a fine match and all, this Okan and Cobb deal.
Mm.
It's not like there's any dream matches, like, you know, it up our back pocket for New Japan. Who is a tag team you look at and be like, ah, that will lead to a classic dome match?
You're asking these questions, and I can't come up with answers here in this show. I'm sorry.
And that's my point, ultimately. Like, it's not just you, Strigger. It's that no one has these answers. Because they don't exist, because there isn't a team that anybody would want to see in that role in New Japan. So they're in a tough spot automatically. I don't know. It could be your Aussie Opens. It could be, you know, Okan and Cobb.
The West Coast Wrecking Crew. Let's get them in.
Bring them all in, like I said, all foreign teams, like put them in there. This match didn't. I wasn't enamored with this match by any means. It was a fine tag title match, but again, much like that earlier one with Aussie Open, it's not like I was like, wow, you know, seeing this, like, this totally. I'm so excited to see FTR in Japan now with more matches like this on the horizon.
Yep, exactly. All right. One more match left. Will Ospreay defended his U.S. title against Tetsuya Naito in the main event. This was billed as Naito's final chance to make it to Wrestle Kingdom. And now, Dylan, he will not have a match at Wrestle Kingdom. We are 100% sure about that. Naito will not appear.
It's not him and Shingo winning the tag league.
Yeah, man, that's a great idea.
Yeah, like that's how they built this up, as like, this is his last chance. Well, now suddenly there's this other chance. Like, he can even cut a promo saying, like, I demand to be in the tag league, and we will, you know, we'll form a team. I think that could get the fans behind him, and that would get, at least the crowd would be super into that because Naito's in the match. Like, I think that would make everybody more over if they did something like that. So
yeah,
that's my idea.
Yeah. What did you think about the main event here?
Oh, the main event, like, a really good match. Like, both guys performed really well. I thought, you know, you knew they were going to throw in reckless abandon, you know, when wrestling each other. There was going to be some crazy bumps, things going out there. Ospreay did his dives, you know, at one point he did his, like, handspring to the enziguri. He flew over the top rope. You know, they were both going back and forth. Naito hit a DDT on the floor.
Yeah,
you know,
there were lots of crazy stuff on the outside. Oscar too.
Yeah, that's right. And then they went for a poison Hurricane Rana, but then he flipped out of it off the top rope. Ospreay did.
Yeah, it's the usual spot that Ospreay does these days.
They did do a spot, too, where Ospreay looked for the one-winged angel well. But Naito countered that, so that's building up more of their feud as well. But in the end, it was like a 30-minute match, and Ospreay ended up winning, just with the Hidden Blade, the Stormbreaker.
Mm-hmm.
It was a great match. Like, really good match.
I agree with that. I also thought it was very, very good, because I expected these two to go all out from the beginning, and they kind of swerved me there, because the first 5 to 10 minutes, I would say, was much more ground-based than I am used to by these two, at least when they wrestle one another. Naito tried to ground Ospreay a lot in this crucifix hold that he had it on early on. Then they went to some crazy spots in the middle of the match, too. going back to some hard-hitting elements in the match as well. So they mixed in a lot of different techniques and different takes on their wrestling style. So, yeah, I also came out liking this match very much. So yeah, overall, I enjoyed this show tremendously, I got to say.
Huge ratings on Cage Match, the early going.
Yeah, I can see that. I mean, this match definitely is a match that caters to a lot of fans' likings, that I can say. Yeah. 9.39 right now. Wow. That's
crazy. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's like huge ratings. Like, yeah. I mean, and I really liked it. Like, don't get me wrong, but yeah. Mm. The New Japan main event style, baby. it's back where it's we're going to see more of the big ratings.
Yeah, someone said that on Twitter. Is New Japan back, Dylan?
Well, I mean, I guess we'll have to see what happens at the Dome. Well, you know, mm-hmm. I mean, like, this was a fine, like, B show. like, let's not go crazy over it. You know, like, it was good, but I wouldn't say that it's now all of their problems are solved. Like, you know, the company's hot again. We have to see what happens at the Dome, because if they play their cards right, I mean, they set up a lot of interesting things, you know, with this title match, what they're going to do with Ospreay. Like I said, I have a good idea of what they're going to do at the Dome. You know, they have set up the TV title final. That could be a great match. Okada's their go-to guy, getting another big spot in the main event. Got to win the title and get the confetti and the Rainmaker Bucks and all that stuff is probably going to go off. So they've set up interesting things for the Dome. If it all plays out right, then they could have a big show there, and maybe we'll be able to say, look, kind of like what I was saying with Noah with the Muto show, whatever issues there have been, they have a chance to start the year off in a good way and springboard themselves into a really good year if they play their cards right.
Yeah, I think this was a show that they really needed, because it got a lot of good ratings, it got a lot of good publicity online, and in the end, they also, as you said, they set up a lot of things, and they set up Ospreay defending the U.S. title against the Roughneck Shota Umino, who came out after you already thought that they ended the show because the confetti had already come down and nobody came out after Ospreay first issued the challenge. But then there was Shota Umino standing in the crowd, much like his dad, John Moxley, does in AEW, and he also delivered the Death Rider to Ospreay. That, of course, also goes back to Ospreay to Moxley being the U.S. champion a couple of years ago, 2 years ago, and I think that they brought him back at a great point in time, because they also have this historic crossover show, but Shota Umino also being featured in a good position in Wrestle Kingdom will also benefit him very much. And with Ren Narita and Shota Umino back, they have two young guys that they really need to center around now, and they positioned them well to have two guys at least that they can run main event matches with in 2 to 3 years.
Yeah, he came out, he looked like a star. Like, coming out, you know, he really had a great entrance, set up for a big thing. They put him in a good spot opposite Ospreay right away. I do worry, because I think he's going to lose that match, to be honest with you.
Yeah, he
will. So it's not as spectacular as maybe, I mean, who knows? Like, Zach could win the TV title at the Dome, you know, as well, even though I would be very disappointed.
That would be a really bad decision.
Yeah, I don't want that, but you know, we just don't know. I mean, we're not psychics after all. You know, at the end of the day, you know, I think this Umino will just lose the title match, but it gave him a great little run here. We'll see what happens. Maybe he's got something planned for the tag league with him. I don't know what that could be, but we will see. You know, we'll end up seeing, and I think that he'll get the chance to have a really big match versus Ospreay that gets a lot of international attention as well. And I think he'll do a great job. And like I said, he looked really fired up, looked really emotional to be back home. I think the fans will take to him really well. And if he can have a big match with Ospreay, that remains to be seen, because he didn't really show a lot on his excursion, you know, in terms of big matches. You know, and a lot of people kind of had some negative thoughts on him. But I think now he gets a chance to be himself. I think they debuted him in a good way. They didn't give him some crazy gimmick or anything like that.
No. Nope.
That I think we were afraid of, you know. So I think he's got a chance here. That's all you need sometimes. You just need to give these guys a chance. When you're coming in with a crazy gimmick, I think that really holds you back. And he doesn't have to deal with that.
And I'm also making a similar point that you made about Ren Narita. I think he needs to find something that makes him not look exactly like Hiroshi Tanahashi.
That's true. Maybe and Moxley as well.
Yeah, similar manner. true. I mean, he even needs to find something that is his style. I mean, for this position now, for this point in time, it probably is a good idea to come across like the next Hiroshi Tanahashi. But when he eventually moves up to the main events, much like Renarita, they need to find something that makes these two guys stand out and not make them seem like the next so-and-so.
Yeah, and that's exactly the point I made with Naruto, and it applies to Umino as well. I've always thought Naruto was the better worker, but I thought Umino may get more chances to be a star. Mm-hmm. With Red Shoes, obviously, as his dad. He's got a little bit more size, perhaps. You could look at. I think that it'll be interesting to see where he goes going forward. But I think both guys have a great future ahead of them if they get behind them. Who's going to be the next Nakamura then? Since we have a next Shibata, next Tanahashi. Who's the next third musketeer of this?
Well, Yuya Uemura is still on excursion.
Well, I mean, have you seen what he's been saying lately?
No, he asked for bookings, right?
Yeah, he was like goodbye New Japan, saying some weird stuff on Twitter. Like nobody knows what's going on with him.
I don't know if that necessarily came across like he wanted to.
Probably not.
Probably not.
It was just weird.
Yeah, it was weird. Yeah.
Yeah. So either him or Tsuji has to be like the next Nakamura, like come out with red leather pants.
Yoda Tsuji also still is on excursion, so that's the two guys that they still have that they can bring back. Then it actually transitions perfectly to my next and final point on this show, Dylan.
Yeah.
So a great point on your part. Tsuji and Uemura still being on excursion. Then they still have Yuta Nakashima, Rohei Oiwa, and Kosei Fujita that they can send on excursion. They also have the German guy, Oscar, is back in New Japan. Shout out to Oscar. He wrestled for WXW for some time during the pandemic when he couldn't go to New Zealand where he was training in the Fale Dojo. But now he was spotted back in Japan. He did Young Lion duty for the Kurikan Hall shows. And of course, they have some other Young Lions in their dojo as well. But they are going to run into problems in, let's say, 4 to 5 years from now. Because the last main event guy that they really built and that really caught on was Okada 10 years ago. And in between that, they have failed to position anyone to be a rival to Okada. And they will have some trouble when guys like Naito, when guys like Tanahashi or Goto even can't perform to the high levels anymore that they still can nowadays.
Yeah, you know, it's good that they've reloaded a little bit with these young talents. They got the guy from Kazakhstan as well.
Oh, yeah. Him too.
Yeah, I think that they're going to really work hard to make him a big deal. He's going to be a big project for them, in my opinion. I look forward to see where all these guys go in the future. What you said is true. They've never really given Okada a true generational rival. It's been more Tanahashi and Naito that have been the guys on his level. They never really got anybody from his era to really face him on that way. So now, by that point, I mean, in 5-10 years, Okada's going to be in that Tanahashi role, like, you know, when he was first coming along. So it's going to be interesting to see where these guys end up going. I mean, that's a long ways away. The world itself can change so much in 5 years that it's hard to really predict something that far out. But I will say, with at least these two, and who knows what's going to happen, I made this point on Twitter too. We saw that interview with Kidani a few months ago where he was criticizing the Young Lion system, the excursions, and it's taken too long, and we need new stars. And I think we're seeing that with these two guys here, is that they have debuted a lot differently than their last half dozen like people that never really got to catch on, you know, for whatever reason with their gimmicks. So now with these guys coming in, I think there's much more of a dedicated, hey, like, we need to get serious with these guys. We need new stars, and we need to give these guys chances. And I think we're going to see that going forward. Like, who knows what's going on with Uemura. Tsuji got a lot of good reviews in England. Yes. It looks like he's going to come back, and he's got the size. He could be a guy. I was a fan of his, and I bet he'll do great things when he comes back as well if they give him a chance. So, yeah, I think that the future is bright for New Japan. I think they have a lot of good young guys that they can bring around. I think that they're going to, now that Kidani seems to really have taken notice and maybe taken a more hands-on approach, it seems like, lately, because they're doing a lot of different things that we haven't seen them do in general, I think that the future is a lot brighter for these young guys. You know, I think that we're going to see them make much more of an effort with your Naritas and your Umenos and everyone else coming along. I think that they're going to get a real chance, and we'll see where it leads in the next few years.
Yes, I can't add anything to that. Looking forward to what New Japan has going for the Tokyo Dome. So far, it's three matches. The New Japan World TV title final, Ren Narita vs. Zack Sabre Jr. Then the four-way for the junior title, Taiji Ishimori defends against Hiromu Takahashi, El Desperado, and Master Wato. And of course, Jay White vs. Katsuhiko Okada. I'm sure that after historic crossover, we will get more matches for that show because they need to start selling tickets for January 4. And then we can talk about the final card for the Tokyo Dome, I think, in a while.
Yeah. Like, we're going to see that. We're going to see some people come in, some big matches made, set up for the tag league. It should be interesting. And I just can't wait for that show anyway with Mayu and Kairi in the main event. That's going to be an amazing match. So lots of good, cool interpromotional matches between them as well. I think that show is going to be one of the better ones of the whole year for New Japan. And I think they're going to do a lot of great things with it.
Yes, agreed. Anything else, Dylan, that you wanted to shout out?
No, just like I said, check out the archives for the Hall of Fame shows I did with Gerard and Case. Check out the Patreon because you're getting a ton of content on there. Like I said, that $5 tier is just overloaded with stuff. And even if you're not a subscriber, still go on the Patreon just because you'll see these Toyota matches if you're interested in historic Joshi, because you learn a lot. I say a lot. I don't just say a lot about her or her matches, but actually the stuff going on in Joshi at the time of All Japan Women's. So you'll see a lot of cool stuff there. 90s Project to get into 1998 soon. All the tournament matches. It's like this is your tournament headquarters pretty much. All three tournaments are all... Both the tournaments going on with DDT and Stardom. Every single match, as always, lots of fun stuff on there. Going to be cool stuff. I work really hard. And like I said, if you like the show, support us. Give us some love. Give us the 5-star reviews on iTunes and all that as well. And follow us on Twitter as well. You know, we're coming up to the end of the year. Got some big stuff on the horizon in the next couple of months and big stuff in Japanese wrestling, but also on the show itself. I think it's going to be a lot of fun as we close out 2022 and look forward to the new horizons of 2023.
Absolutely. So this has been the Eastern Lariat. Thank you all for listening and goodbye.
Sayonara.
This is the MLW Radio Network.